Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! Town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
That one will live on forever. Good morning. Oh my God. Jaden Daniels has only played 7+ games in his career. He's already got a few signature moments. Remember the Cincinnati game, the pass to Terry for the touchdown. It's pretty obvious he'll have plenty more to come, but whatever he does down the road, it's going to be hard to top that one. I've been around here long enough, Denton, and I feel comfortable saying this. That is the greatest game-ending play in franchise history. I don't think Washington has ever won a game on a Hail Mary throw. Not in my lifetime, I don't think. I can't remember, honestly, and I bet I'm corrected on this one, but I can't remember a first half Hail Mary that worked. They've lost a game on a Hail Mary. Elway did it to him back in 1995. He threw a Hail Mary to Rod Smith to beat the Skins. By the way, that wasn't really even a Hail Mary. His arm was so strong, he threw it on a rope. But I don't remember them ever winning a game on that kind of game-ending play. Move that one to the top, the very top of the list of greatest game-ending plays in franchise history. Just to emphasize, game-ending, as in the last play, you know, a walk-off win. You know, Riggo's run in Super Bowl 17 came with 10-plus minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Dexter and Daryl Grant's, you know, deflection, Daryl Grant's interception return off Gary Hogaboom in the 82 championship game came with still plenty of time left in the fourth quarter. Daryl Green's punt return at Soldier Field in the playoffs came in the third quarter. Yesterday's Daniels deep to Noah Brown off the deflection was walk-off, and it's the greatest game-ending play in franchise history. And what makes it extra special is that Jaden Daniels threw it. He threw it. Because while we can all say, very commonsensically, that it's too early to say what he is going to be or what he isn't going to be, we can also say that the start to his career is perhaps the greatest in the history of the league for a player at that position. And he plays for us. And pray God he stays healthy, because what we saw yesterday and have seen through this unexpected 6-2 start, first time in 16 years the team has started the season 6-2, but doesn't it feel like this is just the beginning? He is special. And this season so far feels like we're in the midst of something special. Sometimes, you know, good feeds on good, and it just seems to keep happening. They got 9 games left in the regular season, and there now appears to be a legitimate contender for the NFC East title in the Philadelphia Eagles, who blew out the Cincinnati Bengals on the road yesterday. They're a half game back at 5-2. The 2 games against the Eagles loom large as this season moves forward. Here we are, 6-2 for the first time since 2008. My game take coming up in the next segment. We're going to leave a lot of this morning to just the emotions and the reaction with you guys on the phone. So get ready to line up in about 45 minutes or so on the phones. I do want to just say that what was amazing about this game is that right before that play, or in the few minutes prior to that play, when the Bears actually took the lead 18-15 with 25 seconds to go, I just said to those that were in the room, I'm like, this is two things. One, it's one of the strangest losses I can remember, but it's also a really bad loss. Like, this game should have never, ever come down to the Bears having a chance to win it on the final drive. Of course, I wasn't expecting what we ended up getting. And it just was hard to sit there and deal with the fact that Washington had dominated the significant majority of the game. You know, this is sports. We see this. It's not like teams don't dominate and lose, but Washington dominated the significant majority of the game. And part of why it seemed so improbable that they would be in the spot they were in is that for basically three quarters, the Bears could not move the ball forward, which is the goal. Like, their offense the entire night until DeAndre Swift ripped off that 56-yard touchdown run at the end of the third quarter was impotent. Caleb Williams, I love him, and I'm rooting for him as a DC guy, Gonzaga guy, the whole thing. Not yesterday, I wasn't. He had 36 yards passing on four completions with 10 minutes to go in the game. Let me repeat for emphasis, a starting NFL quarterback who had played the entire game. He didn't just come in the second half. He had played the entire game. He had just four completed passes for 36 yards with 10 minutes left. I've never heard of that before. Washington's defense was outstanding. You know, best performance, I think, of the season. But until I see, you know, kind of proof with the all 22 where you can see the whole field, I would also have to say that the opposing quarterback was pretty god-awful for 50 minutes of the game. I mean, they were held to 0 points and 107 yards until DeAndre Swift ripped off that run at the end of the third quarter. You'd have to go back a long way, I think, a long, long way to find, I don't know, maybe, you know, a really bad quarterback. What? Why am I blanking on the cat's name who played for the Chargers, played for the Bills? He always kept showing up, Denton, and he kept, every time he came into the game, he'd throw four picks.
Nathan Peterman.
Maybe Nathan Peterman had a game where he only had 36 yards passing with 10 minutes to go in the game. But you're going to have to go back a long way to find that, because this isn't Service Academy triple option football. This game never seemed in doubt for me. You know, the offense moved the ball at will in the first half, especially against a decent Chicago defense, but they only led 9-0, you know, at halftime. Three red zone trips on their first four drives, three field goals, kind of reminded, I think, everybody of the Giant game in week two. They outgained Chicago in the first half, 267-90, but had just a 9-0 lead to show for it. And you know how it goes. As a football fan, you're sitting there going, wow, I mean, it really feels like we should be up, you know, 30-0. It feels like we should certainly be up three touchdowns, and we're only up 9-0. I mean, hopefully this doesn't come back to bite us. But, you know, that kind of talk, honestly, with what I had witnessed in the first half, I never felt like the Bears could win the game. Like, it just, in sports are like that, understood, you know, when you least expect it. When they took the lead with 25 seconds left in the game, it was shocking to me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, God, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. This team was terrible for the first three quarters of the game. It should have been 26-27-0. You know, three field goals, you know, add two touchdowns, 23-0. It should have been, but it wasn't. It reminded me when they took the lead. You know, not as stunning and not as quick, because the DeAndre Swift touchdown run came late third quarter. But The Monday Night Miracle in Dallas in 2005, Mark Brunell to Santana Moss twice. The entire night, Washington did nothing. Nothing offensively. They had no life at all. They're down 13-0. It felt like it should have been 50-0, but it was only 13-0. And they just, all of a sudden, boom, boom, two bombs, and they got a 14-13 lead, and they won the game. It felt so shocking, so stunning in the moment. And the Bears taking that lead felt like, you know, it happened over a longer period of time, but it was like, that's unbelievable. I did not think, as Washington built, you know, the lead, which was modest, wasn't enough. It should have been much larger. You know, the Bears are punting basically every single drive. I think they punted six of their first seven drives. You know, the only drive they didn't punt on was the fourth down where they got stopped. That was a hell of a play by Benjamin St. Juice and Luvu. But it just never seemed possible that they would come back until they actually had the lead. Now, count me in, yes, swearing my kids, with 25 seconds to go, I'm like, it's not over. You know, they only need three. And this dude, our guy, is special. This dude can take it from the 30-yard line, throw it down the middle of the field for 25 yards. We can get a spike and maybe a quick out, and we can get Seibert onto the field to try to tie it to force overtime. I did not think it was over. I didn't. Until it came down to the Hail Mary, and then you're like, you know, it's a Hail Mary, right? We're going to get to that play in detail. And really, the two plays, the final two plays, because the play before the final play was as significant. I mean, not as significant, but it was super significant to setting up the opportunity for the final play. They did some things wrong, by the way. They did. Over the final minute and a half of the game, you know, including after Chicago's score and two-point conversion, they did a couple of things that I think weren't correct. And I'll get to those when I get to my game take. But big picture, man. All-time memorable game-ending play, number one. And number two, holy, you know what? We got one. We got him. He is, for the question of will he or won't he play all week long, and trust me, I don't think they would have played him had he not been able to play like him. And it was very apparent he was able to play like the guy we've seen for the six games plus the first drive of last week. You know, there was nothing holding him back. All right, there were a couple of shots of him, you know, uncomfortable, but no. I mean, he took a read option keeper and ran it 9 yards on like the second play of the game. I mean, he was evading and escaping and extending the entire game. I mean, he let that thing rip from his own 35-yard line, 65 yards in the air with arc. We got one. I mean, you know, keep him healthy. Just keep him healthy, because right now, right this moment, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's elite right now. There isn't anything he does that isn't much better than average. He is top two or three in terms of mobility, escapability, running, etc. He is top five to six in terms of being able to throw from the pocket, being able to extend outside the pocket. He is top two or three in the deep ball. I mean, we could go on and on. This guy has played at an elite level since basically, I mean, I'll throw week one into it because it was all him as to why they moved the football. He's basically been an A every single week since week one. I think week one I gave him a B. I think I gave him a B week one, Denton. Since then, he's been an A. And yes, he was an A yesterday, not just because of the game-ending play, but a big part of why he was an A yesterday was the final play. But game-ending all-time, and good God, we have an elite special quarterback. This is why now this is a franchise that is going to be a part of the conversation year in and year out, assuming health. Obviously, health means everything. And he's already had an injury. It didn't keep him from the next game. He kept him from the game he was in last week. He is something else. All right, my game take coming up. Also, Denton will weigh in with his big takeaways when we come back. But what I liked, what I didn't like, and several other observations from Truly. And we've got our Window Nation X Twitter poll of the day up. All right, go to @team980. I'll retweet the poll as well. Was Sunday's Hail Mary the best regular season play in franchise history? I'll answer that question when we come back. I think my specific description, the greatest game-ending play, there's no doubt. No doubt that it is. In terms of the greatest regular season play in franchise history, maybe. Regular season? Maybe. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
To the left, McLaren, and that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time, launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
Tipped it!
And it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary. 2 seconds left. Or as they like to say here, Hail Washington.
That was the Chicago Bears radio network with the call. Certainly the play of the season so far in the NFL. Part of it, obviously, because of who threw it. The absolute lock at this point for the offensive rookie of the year, a guy that's in the conversation for the MVP in his rookie season. I'll also mention, I think, the head coach. Well, I'll hold back on that. I'll get to that in my game take. All right, before I get to the things that I thought were good, bad, and other, Denton, your big takeaways from the game were what?
Damn, we were right about Jaden Daniels. Damn, he is the savior. I mean, it's hard to have a big takeaway that is not solely revolving around Jaden Daniels, because that play is one of the best plays that we have ever seen. And a reminder, we got our Twitter poll as the best regular season play ever at the Team 980 on Twitter. My answer to that is a definitive yes, just because we've never seen a team win a game, at least our team win a game, on a Hail Mary. So it's hard not to be drawn to that as the biggest takeaway. Though I will say, one of the things that really stood out throughout the course of the game, and I had to watch this late because I was at a wedding. Imagine how thrilled I was when we went on a Hail Mary and I was somewhere else. Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels and Zach Ertz and Jaden Daniels are really developing a great chemistry. I mean, Terry just had his third 100-yard receiving game of the season so far. He's on pace for over 1,200 yards, which would be a career high for him. And I suspect that that is only going to get bigger and bigger in terms of the yards that he's going to be on pace from, because I think we're going to see a lot more of these kind of performances to the point where it's almost regular to expect that Terry is going to be flirting with 100 yards. So I've been really impressed the way that those two guys, and then throwing Zach Ertz in there as well, have been able to develop a chemistry. And then, like what you said about the defense, granted, Caleb Williams did not play very well for the first three quarters, but the defense has done a really good job building. You know, they played an awful team last week, and they played a couple weeks before that an awful team against Cleveland. But I do think they've used those performances to build enough confidence to, even when you're standing in front of what is supposed to be a good offensive team, which Chicago, leading up to this game, they had been putting together some really strong performances offensively. I mean, Caleb had been putting together some really strong performances offensively, and it felt like Joe Witt's guys just absolutely crushed his spirits in the first three quarters. So I was really impressed with the way the defense played. Obviously, that swift run kind of set things off in a wrong direction, but outside of that, I thought the defense played really, really well.
Yeah, I think they did too. And I'm going to get to them here on the list of things that I liked. Now, the fourth quarter, not so much, you know, really beginning with the end of the third quarter and throughout. But there's a lot there to kind of, you know, sort through when you get, you know, some true expert opinion on the All-22? Like, was there stuff there and Caleb just didn't see it? Are they asking Caleb to do way too much? It seems like it. You know, I'm not putting this all on him. I'm not putting four completions, 36 yards with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter solely on him, because I think it looks like they're asking him to do an awful lot. You know, he's up there at the line of scrimmage. He appears to be not only involved in checking to the right plays, but protection schemes. It just seems like there's a lot on his plate. What was interesting is what they really did in their last three wins, they didn't do much of quick game screens, although there were some screens that got disrupted, but I couldn't tell if it was disrupted by defense or disrupted by his uncertainty. He appeared to be a bit nervous in the game. You know, he slid on a third and two, a yard short of a first down when he had an opportunity to go get it. The defense, here's what we've said all along. The defense has a couple of good players. You know, Luvu's legit good. And they play with great enthusiasm and energy. You know, and sometimes that combination can get you to at least average. But anyway, look, I'm going to I put together just a short list of the, you know, regular season all-time plays, memorable plays. I'll get to that. I think yesterday, unequivocally, is the greatest game-ending play in franchise history, period. But there are some other regular season beauties that we'll never forget. Not like yesterday. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure of that. All right, let me get to my game take. We'll start with the things that I liked. And I'll start with the end of the game, and not just the final play of the game, but the play that came before it. And you've got to hang some culpability on the opponent. There's a level of incompetence by the Bears bench on the final two plays and the players that it's hard. If you're in Chicago today, you're probably wowed by Jaden Daniels. You are also absolutely incensed at the way the final two plays were played, because you start with 6 seconds to go and the ball at their own 35-yard line. You can't throw a Hail Mary from your own 35-yard line. You know, typically you can't, because you're going to drop back and the throw's probably going to come from 70-plus yards away. You know, 75 typically after the drop back and the runaround. You had to get that play before, and the Bears did not play the sidelines. They did not play the boundary. They did not cover that. I mean, that is, you've got to know, you've as an NFL coach, 6 seconds to go, you can throw the out for 10, 15 yards and still have another snap. You know, if it's 4 seconds to go, probably not. Now you're playing Hail Mary defense, or, you know, some level of it, because from the 35-yard line, really going to be hard for them to get it to the end zone. But you've got to know, Chicago-wise, that you got to play the boundaries. Romo called it before, but we all called it. I mean, if you've ever played Madden, you're calling it. If you've ever watched any football, you're like, oh my God, they're not covering the sideline. Throw the quick out. Let's get it up to the 50 so we can take a legitimate Hail Mary shot. By the way, something really interesting about that play, because I've now gone back and watched a lot of the you know, incredible, you know, shenanigans over the final few minutes of the game, because it really was complete insanity everywhere. I mean, going back to the fumble by number 68 at the goal line on third and goal. But you know who's running to tell Eberflus to play the boundaries, to cover the sideline? And he sees it from the sideline? Caleb Williams. He could have been yelling about something else, but it looks like he's waving his players up before that snap. Go watch what Caleb Williams is doing on the sideline prior to that play at the 35-yard line, the 13-yard completion to Terry McLaurin that gets it to the 48. It looks like Caleb Williams is telling his head coach, what are we doing? Get these guys up. He's going to throw the out. Wow. That is high-level, incompetent coaching. Really bad. You've got to know. This should be like in the handbook of how we play, you know, up three, up whatever, 6 seconds to go. 6 seconds to go is time to get that out. I think it's 4 seconds or less where you're not concerned necessarily about playing the out. But even if it's really quick, it could be a 3 second play. I probably feel safer. 3 seconds or less, they can't do it. 6 seconds, of course they can do it. You've got to play the boundary defensively. That is a massive mistake by the Bears. Massive. Why? Because if you're playing the boundaries, you're playing the sidelines, Jaden's got to throw the ball in the field of play. And at that point, you're into, you know, pitch and lateral mode. And it does work occasionally, but it's probably not going to work. And the game's probably going to end with somebody trying to pitch it backwards from about the 50-yard line. So give Washington credit for knowing that if they don't take away the sidelines, we're going with the quick out for 10 to 15 yards and getting ourselves into position to throw a Hail Mary. Because if you don't have that play, you can't throw the Hail Mary into the end zone. That's a massive, massive part. Look, when you have that kind of an ending, it usually takes two to tango, as they say. The next play, the Hail Mary itself. So there are a couple of things here. I'm sure everybody has seen the Tyreek Stevenson video at this point. The dude who got into it with Terry during the game, tried to poke Sam Cosmi through his eyes, got flagged through his face mask, and got flagged for that. Seemed to be matched up on Terry a lot, much more than Jalen Johnson. I'm curious as to how that happened. You know, we'll be able to see more of that today. But he's jawing and mouthing to the crowd. As the play begins, they put a stopwatch on this thing, 4.1 seconds before he realizes that the play is already begun. They're already 4.1 seconds into the play. He's over looking at the sideline. He's literally on close to the sideline, not where he's supposed to be, back near the goal line defensively, and he's jawing back and forth with the fans. He's waving like the game is over. Holy God. I know that he apparently apologized profusely on social media. And look, I've gotten to that point in life. It's like with young people, they make mistakes. They do stupid things. You know, you got it. If they take accountability, then, you know, you give them another shot. You know, I'm sure there are people screaming to cut him today. He does not get back into the play until Jaden has already run around for four of what turned out to be 6.5 seconds that he ran around for, 7 seconds that he ran around for. I mean, that's incredible. And by the way, he's the one that tipped the ball backwards to Noah Brown. I don't know what his responsibility was on the play. If he's the guy that was supposed to be the guy that doesn't let anybody behind him, that is a bad moment. But you know what? Young people make mistakes. It's only football. Nobody's going to die. Everybody's going to keep breathing. So, you know, next. But God, that was embarrassing. That was so bad. But the play itself. So let's start with the first part of it. Jaden extending and extending and extending. I mean, Mahomes, Lamar, you know, they're Josh, 4, 5, 6 guys can extend a play for 6 seconds. But, you know, Chicago only rushes 3. They also have 53, I think it was, Edwards as a spy. Why are you spying the quarterback? I think one reason you spy the quarterback is because of who the quarterback is. You know, like, is he going to run 52 yards for a touchdown? No, but he could run 30 yards and throw the ball across the field laterally to somebody. Like, he's the kind of quarterback you do worry about making some sort of ridiculous, sensational play. But how many times do we see, a quarterback run the 52 yards? Not by himself, with help, laterals, you know, to other players. Anyway, Washington kept Eckler back to protect. You know, they sent four down. They sent McCaffrey and Ertz. They were the jumpers, so to speak, to try to go up and catch it or tip it. Terry is trailing the play. He's at about the 4 or 5 yard line. And Noah Brown's responsibility clearly is to get back behind any defender in case it gets tipped in that direction. They executed the play perfectly, but it all starts with Jaden being able to run around for 7 seconds against a three-man rush and a dude that's spying and basically not in the play. Because Jaden isn't going to run. Give the offensive line credit. You know, nobody holds. There was a bit of a crackback, a little bit of one, but not, you know, I didn't think one worth, you know, penalizing for. No one is downfield illegally. Like, that's a hell of a job by the offensive line to be that disciplined and to stay with it for the 6 to 7 seconds. And then this dude, you know, he works himself into the perfect spot. He gives his players plenty of time to get set up. He also, by the way, gave Stevenson time to get back into the play. I'm kidding, of course. But he finds that opportunity, too, to step up and, you know, throw the football with forward momentum, getting his whole body into the throw. And then comes the second part of the play. The throw is perfection. You know, one of the reasons Aaron Rodgers, you know, is so good at that and has completed like four of them is he's got the arm strength clearly, but he throws it with incredible loft arc. You got to throw that ball up into the air. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be fly ball shagging time. You got to be back there trying to fly, shag a fly ball in the outfield. And he throws that ball 65 yards, give or take a yard. I don't have the analytics on the throw yet. Maybe you can find them. I'm sure somebody's put them out there. And it's way up in the air. He gave his receivers all the time in the world, and he throws the ball perfectly. Now, Chicago only rushes three. We've talked about this before in Hail Marys. I'm personally never rushing three. I'm rushing four, sometimes five. I want that throw to happen quickly. You know, it does depend on where they're throwing it from, but if you're on the other side of half field, of midfield, as Washington was, of the 50-yard line like Washington was, I'm making him get rid of it quickly. If you're at the 40, you know, and it's going to be more of a throw versus, you know, a true Hail Mary, all right, I probably have to be careful to, you know, not let him get it away against, you know, man coverage or without, you know, more doubles back, you know, behind me. But I'm not rushing three. That's always a recipe for at least a chance. And then Chicago makes the absolute cardinal sin of Hail Mary defense. Nobody gets behind you. Nobody. And Noah Brown got behind the play, and he was there by himself. It was one of the easiest endings to a Hail Mary play we've ever seen. I mean, Stevenson tips the ball. I don't know if Ertz got a fingertip on it. It's really hard to see. He did a good job of really contending for it. But Stevenson's the one that's up and tip. And instead of, you know, trying to bat it, it wasn't the easiest to bat. You know, I'm not going to say that he should have batted it. It was really obvious. Just getting his hand on it was enough. And, you know, but the ball, you know, obviously goes backwards. And history. Greatest game-ending play in franchise history. There was so much to it, though. Chicago was culpable with real incompetence on the last two plays. And an absolute selfish, you know, youthful mistake. If he's the guy that was supposed to be the last guy, you know, making sure nobody gets behind him or boxing out that guy that's behind him, whew, that's going to be rough for him. But the play before... What is Eberflus thinking? Did you get that sound, Denton, for me?
Yes, I did. Also, air yardage was 65 air yards on that throw.
That's a hell of a throw. Okay, let's not talk about his arm strength anymore. There were people actually that said he doesn't have an NFL, high-level NFL arm. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Matt Eberflus, the coach of the Bears, in his postgame, gave one of the biggest head-scratching answers I've ever heard. We've heard a lot of them from coaches who really don't at times. I know it sounds crazy because we're just fans, but they sometimes don't understand some of this game management stuff. Cooley's always said it's because they watch film, they don't watch games. There is a reason that so many coaches don't get some of this stuff at the end, but he was asked about the throw to Terry, the why they weren't covering the boundary, why they weren't covering the sideline. Here's what he said.
That second last play before the Hail Mary, 13-yard strike, they get out of bounds in 2 seconds. Are you preparing that play for them to run some kind of shots at the end zone laterally, or is that something where you're – how do you look back on that spot?
Yeah, because you're defending touchdown, right? You're defending touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter. It's always going to come down to that last play. And it came down to a two-second play to the last play, and we got to execute on that one.
That is honestly one of the worst answers I've ever heard from a head coach for a specific play. Doesn't matter? It's all that mattered. They can't throw the Hail Mary if they don't complete that pass, dude. Are you serious? Wow. That's one of those where if I'm the owner of the team, you'd be hard pressed to have me not sitting down saying, let me get this straight. You don't think the 13-yard pitch and catch, 4-second play didn't matter? It's all that mattered. It gave them a chance to do what they did on the next play. They wouldn't have had a chance to do that. Now, maybe they would have won on one of those wild pitch, lateral backwards, you know, crazy California Stanford, you know, band plays, but they're not going to win on a Hail Mary. Number one on the things of what I liked list is the last two plays of the game from Washington's perspective. They played it perfectly. Chicago played it incompetently. Number two on the list of the things that I liked. Jaden should have been number one on the list, but I've put him number one on the list every week. He's going to be number three on this list. Number two is this because it sort of happens chronologically. I think the overall readiness of this football team week in and week out has been impressive, especially, you know, considering what we've witnessed in recent years. Dan Quinn and his staff just seem to have this group, you know, operating at a high level emotionally, you know, intellectually too. The X's and O's have been great, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like, what comes first, the enthusiasm or the winning? I don't know, but this team is always energetic. It's always enthusiastic. It's always flying around with urgency. It doesn't always produce, especially on defense, the best of results. But it's the old, you know, coach's, you know, axiom. You know, if you make a mistake, make it going 100 miles an hour. Make it at full speed. They're a full speed team. You know, they're a 100% effort team. That goes for both sides of the ball and special teams. Dan Quinn promised all offseason that you would know and you'd be able to recognize that his team will play with a high motor, they'll play with urgency, they'll play with enthusiasm, they'll play fast, they'll play physical. That's what they've done this year. He has delivered on that. And like I said, it's not just about that, you know, which is a cultural thing. It's a coaching belief, you know. I know people say, well, that should be a given with a professional athlete. Yeah, I guess it should be, but it isn't always. Not every team plays with great enthusiasm. Look at their bench during the game. Everybody seems to be engaged, you know, and really immersed in it. I've already heard a couple of times, man, there's a brotherhood here that I haven't experienced anywhere else. That's, you know, in that locker room, that's Dan Quinn. That's Adam Peters for picking the right kind of players. They had an aligned vision, you know, air quotes, aligned vision. And it's one of the reasons they came together. It's one of the reasons they fell in love with Quinn, is that everything he believed in matched up with what Adam Peters believed in. And then he had the clout to pull it off. Because of the experience and because of the way people think about him around the league. But the X's and O's part, man, I mean, the intellectual part, they seem to have down as well. You know, these games, they seem to be well prepared. You know, on offense, that's been really obvious all year long. Kingsbury seems to be a step ahead of the defensive coordinator every week. And I thought, yesterday, last evening. I thought Joe Witt Jr.'s defense seemed to be a step ahead of what Shane Waldron in Chicago was doing offensively, certainly through three quarters or almost three quarters. They seemed to show a lot of pre-snap stuff. They seemed to confuse Caleb. I mean, Dan Quinn right now, look this up, Denton. I'm going to guess, because I know Kevin O'Connell was the favorite. I'm going to guess that Dan Quinn is the favorite right now to be the NFL coach of the year. I mean, 9 games left, of course. All right, the rest of what I liked, and then the short list of what I did not like when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Well, I'll start by answering that question, Kevin. They are tied. They are co-favorites, Kevin O'Connell and Dan Quinn right now, both plus 275 to win NFL Coach of the Year. And this comes fresh off of a huge win for the Commanders. They're 6-2 on the season thanks to a Hail Mary, Hail Jaden, whatever you want to call it, Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown at the buzzer. Well, really like 11 seconds after the buzzer had gone off. But it was the final play of the game. They beat Chicago 18-15. Terry McLaurin had 125 yards on 5 receptions. That's his third 100-yard receiving game of the season. Zach Ertz caught 7 balls for 77 yards. Brian Robinson carried the ball 16 times for 65 yards. And in the quarterback matchup, Jaden finished 21-38 for 326 yards and a touchdown, along with 52 yards rushing on 8 carries, compared to Caleb Williams, who was 10-24 for 131 yards and 41 rushing yards on 10 carries. Elsewhere in the NFL, in the NFC East, the Eagles beat the Bengals 37-17. They're now 5-2 on the season. They have reclaimed the betting odds favorite to win the NFC East at -130. Dallas fell to San Francisco 30-24 to fall to 3-4 on the season. The Giants in action tonight on Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. And that's what's trending.
He's had a couple throws today, maybe the injury.
Barry was way up there. Here's 3rd and 9 and a deep ball. Right back to McLaurin in stride, and he's down at about the 17-yard line.
Terry is definitely on the list of things that I liked. I continue with my game take. By the way, Window Nation is there for you if you need new windows. October is a great time to kind of just check your home's windows. You know, if they're cracked or they're leaking, you need new windows, obviously. If they're hard to open, if they're hard to keep open, you need new windows. And if you've been thinking about new windows because of those reasons, or you just want your home to look better, call the pros at Window Nation. All I ask really is that if you've been thinking about it or if you need them, just give them a shot to come out and give you a free estimate. You've got nothing to lose. You mention my name, they'll come out when it's convenient for you. They'll be in and out of your home in an hour or less. And if you choose to move forward with them, you're going to get 2 free windows with every 2 purchased, with no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 full years. Your windows will come with a lifetime warranty. They'll be installed in a day or less. These are all reasons why Window Nation has gotten 33,000 5-star reviews on Google. 96% of their installs go off without any issue at all. They require no follow-up service. You're getting the best product, you're getting the best company to work with, and you're getting a really good deal right now. If you've been thinking about new windows, get them in before winter comes. You'll save big on your energy bills. 866-90-NATION. WindowNation.com. All right, the first 2 things on my game take, the list of things that I liked, were the end, the final 2 plays, a combination of perfect execution by Washington and also Chicago incompetence at truly the highest level on the next to last play of the game. I love just how ready this team is week in and week out. The coaching staff's doing a great job. Number 3 on the list is Jaden Daniels. You know, I have a sense that some of you actually believe that he was just okay yesterday. You know, he had a low completion percentage, the lowest of the year. He missed some throws, you know, missed high on a few throws yesterday. I don't agree with that. I thought he was outstanding in the game. And I'm not saying outstanding because, you know, he was playing perhaps compromised. I don't think they would have played him unless he could play like Jaden Daniels. And by the way, they let him play like Jaden Daniels, right? This dude ripped off a 9-yard read option keeper. He was scrambling. He was extending. He had 52 rush yards on 8 carries in the game. A lot of those, you know, got out of bounds, protected himself. And on others, he actually took some hits, took a bunch of hits after he threw the football. He wouldn't have been in there had he been legitimately compromised or at risk. His numbers, 21 of 38 for 326 yards. The completion percentage was low. You know, part of it was on him. Part of it was he had balls dropped, several of them. He had balls that were catchable that didn't get caught. He threw for just one touchdown, the Hail Mary. He took 2 sacks, but probably avoided another 4 with his escapability. I just thought he played really well. I just don't think that I've ever seen anything like this as a rookie. You saw the other rookie, he struggled like most rookie quarterbacks do. You know, made some plays, no doubt, down the stretch he did, Caleb Williams did. But for the most part, for 3 quarters, he looked confused. He looked like he's still learning. Our guy looks like a 6-year pro at the height of his powers. Here were some of his really good plays. I actually think the first good play was an incompletion. That first drive, 3rd down, he avoids Montez Sweat, throws to McCaffrey in the end zone. McCaffrey doesn't get both feet down, but it was a really good throw. I thought he took a hit on that. It was borderline late. 2nd drive, there's a 3rd-and-8 scramble where he literally stops number 53, the spy Edwards, in his tracks. And the dude's like stuck in cement, and it's just like an absolute wiggle of his hips a tiny bit, and the dude's frozen. And Jaden takes it to the sideline for 9 yards to move the chains. Same drive, 2nd drive of the first half. It's a 3rd-and-9. How do you like the deep ball that he throws? Huh? Pretty good. Maybe one of the best deep ball throwers in the game already. 7-plus games into his career, 61 yards to Terry, the perfect ball. Loved how they went quick count on that and seemed to catch. Like, he had the matchup he wanted. They weren't going to check. They weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to give Chicago a chance. It seemed like that went on an early snap count. And I'll tell you, the play action with him, it's like, he just is always in great rhythm from the pocket on some of the play action, whether it's under center or shotgun. That was another ball that I thought he got hit, you know, pretty hard and late. 4th drive of the first half, 1st-and-10 play action. He gets flushed right, and then he comes back calmly, because that's what he does. He does everything calmly. And he fires a ball to Ertz for 12 yards. Still 4th drive. It's a 3rd-and-4. He throws to Ertz in the end zone what looked like a touchdown. Ertz probably didn't survive the ground. I mean, it was close. I mean, I don't know. I thought actually the first time I saw it, I'm like, that's going to work. That challenge is going to work. But it didn't. And still a good throw. 1st drive of the second half, there's a 2nd-and-4 play action, and he goes to Ertz for 20 yards. Man, there are a couple of receivers in our offense. Ertz, Noah Brown, those two in particular, they just always seem to be wide open. Like schemed wide open, could be route running. Still 1st drive of the second half, 3rd-and-3, and he just, you know, he's just scrambling, tight roping sideline, sticking the ball ahead of the sticks, move him, 1st down. He's just ridiculous as a runner. His feel, his spatial feel, his feel for where the defenders are is elite. That's why when we were building up towards the draft, I said, people, this is not RG3. It's not. Yes, he took some big shots. He had to. They sucked on defense. They couldn't punt at LSU. This is a guy that's got maybe not Michael Vick vision, you know, eyes in the back of his head, but he feels it. And his little wiggle, his open field ability to make people miss, and then his flat-out speed is in quickness. You know, there's 2 things. He's quick and he's fast. You know, there's a 2nd half drive. It's also the second drive, second and 14. He avoids pressure, feels it, goes right up the A-gap for 13 yards. The next play, by the way, was that touchdown pass to Zacchaeus that got called back, ineligible downfield, Cosme. And then the next play after the penalty, he finds Ertz on third and six. He is a big-time third down and medium to third down and long deliverer of the football. Or runner with the football. Fourth drive of the second half after the swift touchdown cut the lead to 12-7. They needed a drive, man. It's like, what? We're only up by five? And Jaden on second and 10 finds Terry just sitting down in a hole in that Chicago zone for 25 yards. It's such a good throw. That was the play, by the way, where Terry took the big shot from Stevenson, and then Stevenson went after Cosme and got hit with the 15-yard penalty. Fifth drive, second half, there's a second and 7 scramble. It's the one where he just kind of lifts his foot up and skips and hops a little bit as the dude's reaching out for his shoestrings. He's got eyes everywhere, man. Picks up 5 yards on the play, but it just, again, another example of how great he is in tight quarters, in space, on the move, from the pocket. He just has great athletic vision and feel. It's often the most underrated part of athleticism. You guys all know guys who maybe couldn't jump, couldn't run, whatever, but they could play everything because they had great vision, great hands, great feel. He has all the athletic abilities and then has that as well. And then, of course, the Hail Mary play, which we've already broken down. Those were his good plays. Some bad plays. Overall, he was high on some throws. That would be the constructive critique of yesterday. There's possibilities he missed some things. You know, it's hard to tell when you're watching on TV. Second drive, first half, he's high to Terry. It was incomplete. It was somewhat catchable. That was the play before the 61-yard bomb. Third drive, second half, it's third and 7. He goes way too high for Ertz. Incomplete. That was the play before the missed field goal. He had one early in the game that was behind Ertz that Ertz caught for like a 11-12-yard gain. Other than a couple of throws that weren't 100% accurate, you're never going to get a quarterback on 38 throws to be accurate, perfect on all of them. He didn't really come close, I don't think, to throwing a pick. He avoided more sacks than he took. He took two. He probably avoided five. There was one play where he and Terry were a little bit off page with one another because they've been on it together really all year. But it looked like Jaden thought it was back shoulder. Terry was still running. But look, overall, when you consider just how I think he was outstanding throughout the game, and then you throw the last play, and then you consider he had several balls dropped or catchable balls not caught. That's one of the reasons they were only up 12-0. It was his first 300-yard passing day of his career. He had 52 yards rushing. It's an A performance for Jaden Daniels. I'll continue. And then after this next segment, hopefully we'll get to calls. So you can start lining it up on the phones. 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.